This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Welcome to Use the Muse. I'm Scott.
I'm Kim.
I'm Nicole.
And of course, here we are again another week with Mrs. Doubtfire. Now, most of you would have, we should have already had this show. This should have already been done and over with. But Hurricane Hillary decided to wreak havoc, not only with the wind here in our neck of the woods, but also with the rain in California. And boy, did it wreck havoc. But anyways, we're not
safety
here to talk
first.
About,
safety first. Okay.
Right. We're not here to talk about Hillary. We're here to talk to you about Mrs. Doubtfire.
That we are.
1993 movie, which is ironic because my daughter was born in 93. And 10 months later, movie would come out and probably around Christmas time or
November 24th, to be exact.
Okay. Thank you. But somewhere either in December or January of 94, I finally got to see this in the theater due to the fact of the small area we lived in. We always didn't get movies and releases on real release weekend.
No, we didn't.
But we're going to have a little fun. But before we do, we need to thank a few people.
Yes, we do.
Let's do it.
Let's do it to it. Thank you to our Patreons, Luna Girl, Dragon Buddy, Don Delisnooch, Solsky, Nicholas Schaefer, Steve Long, Hannah, Mikey, Brenly, and Case.
And if you'd like to join our Patreon, oh wait, and our newest, I skipped it, didn't I?
Yeah, well.
And our newest Patreon, Pop My Culture, Chantal.
Yes.
Ashanti. I don't know why I said Chantal.
Yeah, Shanti.
She's always Shanti. Anyways, you want to join the Patreon, go to patreon.com/usedabusepod. And yeah, go there. You'll enjoy it.
There's a 7-day trial for it too.
There is. If you want merch, right now we're all wearing our Used and Abused. Hey, we are wearing the same.
Yeah, we are.
Wow. We did not coordinate this, people. Just
no,
so you know.
We did not.
But go to our T-Public store, search out Used and Abused Pod. And
you can find everything and anything, including mugs, cut onesies, masks, pillows, tapestries, anything you want to put something on.
Don't forget to smash that like button. If you are new to the channel, click subscribe and then that little bell to be notified when we do go live or even upload any new videos.
And Used and Abused can basically be found on all podcasting apps.
Pretty much.
So just go to any podcasting app and you can find us.
Yep. And if you want to leave us a review, you can leave us a review. I know on Audible and also on Apple. Those are the ones I do see.
And Spotify.
There is a review spot on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I don't get to see him.
I do.
Oh, that's cool. You can find us also on Discord,
Facebook,
the Gram, X, and Threads. And just so you know, you want to really want to find where we're really active. I mean, we're not all the time active, but the most active we are is in our Discord.
Yes,
it's true.
You can email us at usedandabusedpod@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 928-719-0749.
If you want to just call to say hello.
Well, yeah.
Hello there.
Yeah.
I did T-Public way early. My bad.
That's fine.
Anyways, we are a proud member of the Red 5 Network. Go to bio.link/red5 to find more exciting podcasts like ours.
Yes, exactly.
Believe me, there's something there for everyone.
Yes. Also, check out
our Cantina family. Sorry, Kim.
Check out the Sidebar Cantina every Monday on YouTube at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Wednesdays, Pantless Wednesdays, ATSW Escape Pod at 7:05 Eastern.
Also, Stranger Things Has Happened on YouTube only too.
Yeah, every Saturday. Every other Saturday, my bad.
Yeah, every other Saturday.
That's hosted by Dondell Snutsolski and Luna Girl, and they're watching Stranger Things for the very first time.
Yep.
So no spoilers to them if you've already seen season four, because like right now they're in season three.
Yeah. And then there's also Layman's Terms on YouTube.
Keith!
Where you can go to his channel and subscribe, and you can get most anything he wants to talk about.
Yep. Orange and Fett shows on Spotify and also available on iTunes.
Also, if you go to YouTube, you can look up Swede Studios and Explicit Noise.
Right, and Swede just had a recent release of
a cover of Kill 'Em All, I think.
No, not Kill 'Em All. That's an album by Metallica. Anyways, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Go check out his new video. It's I think it was Kill Me by
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the band now. My bad.
But it's all on his YouTube video.
As a reminder, all of our links are in the show notes pinned to the top of our X page. That just sounds real wrong.
Also known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Used to
bio.
Formerly known as.
And go to our bio.link/usedabusedpod.
Yes. Now.
And my voice is off.
Well.
That's what I get for sitting out in the dean or being outside in the wind last yesterday.
Yeah, you kind of explored that part of the storm, didn't you?
Well, the wind calmed down. I thought I could go out and check for damage, and then it kicked right back up. And I wasn't opening the front door in case there was any pressure changes that blow out our windows in this home.
Anyway, on with the show. Back to the main topic.
I almost started singing the song.
I know you did.
Frankie died just the other night. Some say it was suicide, but we know how the story goes.
That it's Mrs. Doubtfire time. How did I do?
It is Mrs. Doubtfire.
I tried to like get onto how he was doing it, and I'm like, it did it.
It is definitely time for Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
Oh, what a movie. I can't believe it. 1993.
Yeah.
93.
Yeah.
It don't work.
83, 93. They all had really good movies.
Yeah, they did.
Doubtfire it's very special, you see.
It is.
Will be talking about as we get closer in.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's get started. Like Nicole mentioned earlier, it was released November 24th, 1993.
Yes, sir.
Directed by Chris Columbus.
Mm-hmm. The screenplays was by Randy Mayhem, Singer, and Leslie Dixon. I want to make a special kudos announcement, though, to them. I really did like the screenplay. And we're going to get into that fun fact later a little bit more. For now, I'm just going to leave it that to that and that huge kudos to them because I loved the screenplay and I loved how this movie turned out in the plot.
Yes. Yep. And... yeah, it's a good movie. It touches on actually real life situations of what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. which is separation, divorce, how families adjust. And this is where we can include.
You don't read that part, Kim.
Oh. There's the blooper reel right there.
Yeah, yeah, and the cool thing about the blooper reel is, you know what? What do we always do for bloopers on this show? Yes, folks, I know we're not live right now. Yes, we're pre-recording this, but it doesn't matter. Kim just did a blooper, so here we go.
Please, please, please get your shit together.
Yes. Anyway.
Anyways.
That's the theme.
Yes.
That's the themes of the movie.
Theme. And, you know, I'm a divorcee. I mean, I've been divorced. And the crazy part about that is I was divorced in 95, but at this time when this movie was out, I was actually separated.
Yeah.
Which is really, mm-hmm. watching it again today, and mind you, I had not watched this movie in probably, I would say 5 or 6 years by now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And watching it today, I went back to that feeling of watching it again the first time, mm-hmm. in 93.
Right.
And when I was holding hand, I mean, I was up in the theater by myself, up in the back by myself. My except Ray Wipe was down lower speaking or hanging out with someone else. And yeah, I had kind of a lot of those feelings that came while watching it came back. I was like, wow. Right. And the only thing was we did try to reconcile. It didn't work out. And we eventually did get divorced. But this movie shows one side of a divorce, one right. side of how it works. There are many sides of divorce. And it don't really, there's
Well, for me, I've not been through a divorce particularly. I've been on the outside of some, though. One in particular within my family, I've been on the outside of it. So I know kind of what goes on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not anything that I would even consider a child even going through, because it wreaks havoc on them. It really does.
It wreaks havoc on everybody. And
yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So like Scott, I'm also a divorced parent, single parent. And I had discovered that I haven't seen this movie in a very long time, probably since before my divorce. And I'm like, but I know I liked this movie as a kid. Like, I remember telling Scott, oh my God, I loved this movie as a kid. That's how this got introduced. And then when I went to go watch it, I went, I haven't seen this movie in a while. And it connected with me very differently as an adult than as it did with me as a kid. Yeah. And I was like, wow. And then like Scott, we have to repush it that, each divorce looks different. It's unique to each family. And, whether there's kids or no kids, it is tough. And each family adjusts differently. And so this movie definitely hit home in different ways than probably as a kid for me. I came from a family, my parents are still married. So I kind of knew about divorce, kind of knew about stuff. And then this movie as an adult makes once I've gone through a divorce, and it's wow. It is it hits different levels. So.
Yeah, exactly, Nicole. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the difference, though. You two have experienced it and can relate to it differently than what I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think each family can relate to it differently, though, too, because not everyone's going to, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a cookie cutter. It's not.
Yeah.
No. I think, like, with this particular movie, I feel like they approached it in a very loving, respectful, caring way that we got to see a character develop and become better.
Right.
Yeah.
Or in this particular case, two parents that became better. And
yeah.
But in particular, the main character, Daniel, Hillard really did. This character development was amazing. And they overcame, which we will get into that a little bit further down the line. But I think it's kind of good that we're addressing this up front, because we know that every person is going to take this differently. And we understand that. We get that. And we want everyone to know that we get it. Yep. Again, it's not one size fits all. This is not. And then we're going to be just our genuine, authentic selves, because we can only talk from our own experiences. And we know that not everyone's going to have the same thing. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfectly put. All right. Now I got confused. Oh, casting.
Came back to the good stuff. The casting, because the casting was great. This had wonderful casting.
Oh, yeah.
So kudos to those, to the director and the producers, which, of course, one of the cast members, which we will get to, was also a producer, because they did a great job on creating this cast, bringing them together, for the movie, for Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. have an issue here for a second.
Okay, gotta find the right one.
You know, I think the kids did, they did a great job picking out the children. You know, yeah. We have the oldest is played by Lisa Jacob. I hope I said her name right. She was Lydia. In the middle was Matthew Lawrence. A lot of people know about the Lawrence brothers. He, I do believe, is the middle one. And that, again, is Matthew Lawrence. And then Mara Wilson played young Natalie. Also,
that's why that's why Chris's face looks so familiar.
Yeah.
I didn't even put
one of the Lawrence brothers.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and then the one that played Natty also went on to do more movies after this too.
Well, this was her first movie.
Yeah.
Yes, she played was her first movie.
Yeah, she played Matilda, and she also played in the remake of the Miracle on 34th Street for 1994. Uh-huh. As the little girl there too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think there was in a couple others. Because they did. I loved seeing even their characters grow throughout this movie.
Let's see.
Oh, there they are with Robin Williams, also known as Daniel Hillard, right, in the movie. What a great family shot.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just going to put this out here. Those of you that watch, everybody that's watching this, search out on YouTube 25th, I think it was 25th anniversary, where you had the three kids and Pierce Brosnan actually talking about
their
experiences with the movie.
Yeah.
And working with Robin and also working with Sally Field. So please search that out.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It was great to watch. I mean, there will be a few tearjerker moments because they do talk about Robin Williams, and obviously by even when they did that, he has already passed on. So please check it out. It was actually a really good interview.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now,
yeah,
say they were all inside movies.
Oh, okay. So you want to use all the ones from the movie, all the movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, of course, then we also have Sally Field, who's Miranda Hillard. Of course, this was one of the most hilarious moments, I think, that's coming up in the movie.
Yeah.
I know we're kind of going out of secrets right now, but I'm kind of taking it as is. again, Matthew Lawrence. And
yeah, that's where they make the pact with each other after
the discovery.
The discovery.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And then do you see the one of Miranda and. Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh, wow. Wow. Pierce Brosnan, who, of course, at the time was the new James Bond.
His first movie was 1996, GoldenEye.
Well, his first movie technically was Mrs. Doubtfire, but.
Yeah, but his first Bond movie.
She was saying Bond movie.
I don't even know what actually his first movie is now. Think about it.
But his first Bond movie was GoldenEye.
He ain't Bond.
And he is, well, we'll go into that later. We'll go into James Bond later.
Another day. That's a whole other topic.
That is.
He did a great job as his character. And same with Sally Field. I loved how Pierce Brosnan and Robin Williams worked off of each other as well as, again, as Sally Field. Like, it worked. They made it work, like he made it work so that we liked him, but we still liked him, you know, like we actually like really kind of wanted to root for him, but we kind of didn't want to root for him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. His very first movie was released on this, The Long Good Friday, released 1980.
Oh, good to know.
I don't think I ever see him until this movie.
I see him in other movies.
And of course, his name is Stuart, and she calls him Stu. And I'm like, I didn't like the name. I'm like, Stuart, because it made him sound like a snob. And I really don't think he's really a snob. I just think he's just well off. You know what I mean? He was just a man of intelligence and wealth.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Stew you deer. Know? It's a thick soup.
Sorry.
Oh, here we go, Kim. Getting quote lines for us. Right out of blue. Shows you how much he loves this movie.
Yes, it is. So again, it's like, oh my gosh. And that photo was so hilarious.
I know, right?
And of course, you know, Robin Williams done up as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yep. Yes.
Speaking of Robin Williams, we, thank you to Scott, has created a video for everyone to watch because we love Robin Williams. And this movie had so many moments that we're like, we can just create like a montage and talk about it right as we go, because there are just so many moments in this movie.
Right. I'm just going to, and right off the top, I'm going to let everybody know, one, these photos are, especially when we get when he's dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire, it will be pretty well in order. There will be some lines that are quoted throughout some of them, and a couple of them are off. They're not in the right photos where they really should have been, but the scenes themselves were in order at that point. But the comments or the quotes from the movie would not be, just so everybody knows.
That way
I don't get comment like, you know, that's not when that quote happened. No kidding.
Well, Pierce Brosnan's one's pretty right on it.
Yeah. Here we go.
White
Wings. As Daniel Hillard. The man.
Yep. I know. I'm so excited. Genius. The party.
The party, yeah.
And yeah.
Up around.
the hot dog scene.
Dude. That.
I love this.
Yeah, the transformation.
So this is of course Harry Feinstein as his brother, Frank Hillard. I love that. I love seeing him and Jack Crete do the, which is played by Scott Caprio, and this transformation. Catch me a catch. I loved when they were singing and just doing all the voices.
Right, and stick around for the fun facts because we got some in this part right here. Like, wow.
Yes. And
Mrs. Doubtfire. I love this coming up photo because of the fact you got Rob Williams, Danny Hillard, and as Mrs. Doubtfire back to back. That's what they're making the kids do. Well, because they argue about doing homework.
Yeah, because they wanted to watch the Dick Van Dyke show.
Hot flashes.
Day is a woman up getting hot flashes.
And
I like that in a woman.
Yeah, right. Love that. Mediterranean.
Hello. We should have probably practiced that one all together.
Right.
I have to laugh, though. That was a funny quote. I get why they did it, though, because of the crab being there.
Right.
But this was so sweet. Mrs. Doubtfire and Chris.
Right, and then riding bikes to the kids.
Kids, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the Golden Gate Bridge in the background.
Yeah.
And then, of course, dude looks like a lady.
I mean, now, it's hard not to sing when you see her some of these.
Right. This part, movies. Or that part right there.
Yes.
Room.
Pierce Brosnan.
Just flipping Stew on.
Touch me down. Me,
man. I'll drown you, you bastard.
That is pretty close to the actual scene, and that was awesome.
The run by Fruity.
You can't tell which one's our favorite, can ya?
Power tools.
That was hilarious. That quote. Oh, yeah. When he showed up at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that last quote.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When he gets the show.
Yep.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah. Oh, that last one always gets me. That one gets me in the feels. Because it's we go from funny and then all of a sudden. Boom! Eat your heart out. It's like, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what makes this. I mean, really, come down to it. It's really it's kind of a romantic comedy, but it's really a comedy drama.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's got those moments where you're busting up laughing. You know, obviously, the dripping face. You know, from the melting. Or I'm having hot flashes as a woman, you know, because first day I'm, you know.
It's also meant for family too, because it was done in a very certain way. But I think then, obviously the love is more like Miranda and Stewart.
You get those moments with Mrs. Doubtfire, especially, you know, there at the end, you know, where you know, Daniel's got the job. He's now got the acting job as Mrs. Doubtfire. And he is giving you that moment, that thing to really, as you're leaving the theater, you're thinking of this stuff. And I can even attest, when I left the theater, I was like, I want to repair whatever I can. Yeah. I want to keep my family together.
Well,
you know, and so.
Well, we know that this was a movie that he had. So he came on board to produce Mrs. Doubtfire. So Robin Williams also is one of the producers. And he had just gone through a divorce. So he knew this was fresh. And he just, I think he just poured himself into this character, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire and Daniel. And he did such a great job. And again, the character development, you can see from the beginning when he's like making the voices and, you know, hot dog, to Mrs. Doubtfire, where he's becoming more mature, more wiser, and getting smarter how he handles things, right, to even the end when he gets that show.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not going to lie, I was cheering. I was excited. Like, yes, he is going to make something of himself. He's going to provide for himself. He's going to provide for his children. He's going to do what he loves. And it's going to be helpful to everybody. It was just like a win-win. And of course, that ending moment, which we'll be playing a little bit later. And that's with his kids. And just to see them both, it works.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, and the best thing about it is he was actually working as a freight person with movies. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the studio, he was talking to, because he came in, and then at the restaurant, you know, when he was trying to be the two different people for the two different
Lundy.
Yeah.
Played by Robert Prosky.
Yeah, and then when he made the mistake and went dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire to Mr. Lundy, how he says, this is why I think Mrs. Doubtfire would be the perfect host for your children's show.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and
he was selling himself as Mrs. Doubtfire, saying, here's your opportunity.
Well, I mean, come on. Obviously, when he's meeting Lundy, you know, he's already having Chardonnay,
yeah,
with the Scotch family, you know, with the family as Mrs. Doubtfire. Thanks. And then he's running to Lundy as Daniel Hillard and having Scotch. I mean, and we're not talking one, we're talking doubles.
Yeah.
I mean, gotta catch up. I mean, he's pounding them, and then running, and eventually, you know, this alcohol, it does get to him.
Yeah, it does.
And that's where he makes the mistake, and actually when he
Yeah.
dumps the pepper on.
Uh-huh.
He forgot who he was at that moment.
Yeah.
He got confused of what character he was, you know, besides being himself. Or,
well, yeah, but it's just, he just made the best out of the mistake is what it was.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he already made a mistake earlier when he went back to Lundy and like, are you wearing perfume?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that wearing lipstick?
Yeah.
You know, and he, you know, made up the, you know, the thing about,
does your friend have a friend?
Yeah, right. Well, it's the 90s. Yeah, and it was just one of those moments where you're like, when he goes and you see him walking back to Lundy, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
How is he gonna do this one? I figured, you know, obviously you're thinking, okay, well, he'll walk away as Mrs. Doubtfire and go sit down with the family. But instead, he's talking as himself because he forgot he was dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. But I mean, he made the best of a bad situation. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And in the end, it paid off because he ended up getting the job and seeing his kids too.
I also feel like we got to see some, you know, the kids mature a little bit. And of course, then they started behaving better. And we also got to see even Sally Field as Miranda, how she finally got to that point of, you know, she wanted what she wanted for the kids, or at least she thought she knew what she wanted. And then we got to see that struggle inside her and how it looked with Daniel being around as Mrs. Doubtfire. And again, that discovery happening, the whole time, the whole time, like that whole moment, you know, because I think she's trying to process everything. And how can you do this in the betrayal? And what a moment. And I just feel like, with this particular, for her, for Miranda in the movie, it's like we got to see again, this is her character development where she got to finally get to that point of acceptance and how, what's the best for the kids that works out for our particular situation that's unique to our situation. Right.
Well, yeah.
And because then you also now have a judge and other court things there in place. You know, how do I handle this? How do I work this out for so it's the best for everybody?
Yeah. I mean, the conversation that her and the kids had in the kitchen making dinner was the best part of the movie because, like you said, she came to realize, hey, everybody was better with Mrs. Doubtfire around.
And then she realized, no, it wasn't Mrs. Doubtfire. It was Daniel. It's my husband or my former husband. And then, you know, of course, then we also hear, hello, you know, on the screen. Yeah. The TV. Right. The kids come running. They're excited. And then she realized, like, now they're spending time with him. And, you know, the kids kind of went out because they've been pushing for dad, you know. Yeah. And but that's what works, of course, best for that particular family in this particular sense.
Exactly.
And it was just great to see all their character development.
It was.
And of course, I mean, you know, we didn't really touch on it, but I mean, the freaking movie poster.
Oh, it's a great one.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I mean, getting back, you know, back to like the judge. I mean, especially on the end, you know, when he's literally, you know, a great performance by a brilliant actor, you know, and you know, you as the audience, you get that moment where you're like, no, he is in love with his children. You know, this is not a performance for him, but I understand where the judge was coming from too, because hey, he just fooled everybody that he was, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire.
And here's another thing, because versus the opposite at the beginning, when he had the first job as a voice actor, you know. And the reason he left that job was because he didn't believe in the ethics in which they were forcing onto children.
Right. I mean,
oddly enough, like you would think that that would have come up again, or that she would have been like, well, why did you leave your job? Well, you know, they're going to force kids to smoke. Because I remember Lydia making that comment to him at the beginning of the movie in regards to him leaving his job. Right. And it's like, she doesn't realize he left it because he doesn't want children to think smoking is a good thing.
Yeah. Right.
This is right at the time in which they were making all the big discoveries about how bad smoking was for our health and for our lungs and for, you know what I mean? Yes, you can do it if you choose. That is your choice. But they were making so much discovery at that time about secondhand smoking, what it can do to kids. And he didn't want that to be promoted like to children. I mean, one thing to do to adults, but doing to children he didn't see was fair, which I get. I totally get it. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm guessing here, I mean, because they're married for 14 years. What I'm guessing is this has been a recurring problem over and over and over again.
Right.
Where he's probably given her excuse after excuse why he keeps, you losing jobs or whatnot.
But this particular case, it was true.
He didn't show
that though either. They never actually go into that in this particular case.
Right. I mean, it could be one of those things where, again, you know, if you've been lied to a few hundred times or misled a few hundred times, you know, who's really going to believe the next one, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that might, you know, I mean, because I mean, she does mention, you know, this is the final, you know, this is it, final straw. Mm-hmm. So the thing we don't get is what were all the previous straws, you know, that made that straw finally be the one that broke the camel's back and you know, was going to end the marriage.
Right.
You know, and again, it takes, each marriage is different that they do end. And again, each situation is different, why they break, why they end. But you know, yeah. So, I mean, it just, we're not given the whole story of what all the previous ones were. And again, you right. know, if you do that, then you got a longer movie. And who knows, maybe there's extra deleted scenes out there that even were never put out that show that actually has this. And they gave it to a test audience and they're like, no, this drug down the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, okay, let's cut this all out and do this instead. You know, which you never know. I mean, the only way you're going to know is if you have the actual screenplay.
Yeah. Yep. Now the next one should be our favorite scenes.
Oh, favorite scenes.
Well, I can tell you which one mine is.
What is your favorite scene?
It was a run by Fruiting.
Honestly, yeah, I mean, that one's freaking hilarious. I mean, and I'm going to bring it up. I mean, it's kind of a fun fact, I guess, on top of it. But during that 25th anniversary thing, talking to Pierce, and it's also Pierce's favorite scene.
Yes. Did you want to pull those pictures up while we're talking about it? Because we do have some of the photos.
Yeah.
Now and then.
Get that up real quick.
It's just a few or a couple.
Anyway, so Pierce was talking about, you know, his favorite scene. And then they talked about him. They asked him about the actual filming the scene. And he mentioned that it was two takes. First one grazed by his ear. Second one hit him in the back of the head. I'm like, wow. One, awesome Robin Williams. I mean,
yeah.
Get that. But, and then the other thing is a scene just before that when he's up on the diving board.
Yeah.
Listening to him talk about that was hilarious because he didn't jump off of it. They yelled cut. He crawled crawled back to get off. Oh gosh. But yeah, no, but yes, this picture, the one with the three kids and him older, that is out of the 25th anniversary thing they did. I believe it's for today. Anyways, it's on YouTube. Search it out. It is a very cool interview to listen to and to listen to the kids talk about their not only time with Pierce, but their time with
Robin
and with Sally. You know, yeah. And it's really good. I mean, because like again, I can't remember her name, but the guy that went on to play Matilda, you know.
Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson, she actually talked how her family cheered when they heard Pierce got Bond.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean. Again, I guess, I mean, for me, this is the first time I've seen Pierce. The first time I saw Pierce in a movie.
Oh, originally. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
it would have been my first time seeing him, too, because then I would see him again as James Bond.
I would never see him as James Bond because I never watched any of his movies as Bond.
My actual introduction to Pierce was actually the previews of the Thomas Crown Project, which he did. And then Dante's Peak. I seen him in Dante's Peak. And then I seen him shortly after this. I seen him in this. And then in 96, being the Bond fan I am, I saw him as James Bond and went, oh, okay. I know who he is.
It's actually 95, GoldenEye James Bond, by the way. Yeah.
95. Well, the video came out in 96.
So you saw Dante's Peak, which was released in 97, before you saw Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I said, I saw Mrs. Doubtfire. And
Thomas Crown Affair was 99.
Yeah. I had seen the previews of that before I even sat and watched Mrs. Doubtfire.
Which is also the same year Rule Is Not Enough came out.
Yeah. Well, I'd seen the Mrs. Doubtfire and James Bond. Actually, The World's Not Enough is his third one he did.
Yeah, I mean, like, favorite scene, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there are a lot of great scenes in this movie.
There is.
But I think the biggest pop for me out of this movie is still the run by Fruiting.
Yeah.
Just because you can think of, like, you know, things that happen, you know, where you were like with gangs and stuff where they do the drive-by shootings.
Yeah.
And just to have it come out as a run by Fruity.
Fruity, yeah.
And the fact that he tagged him square in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And he turns around and gives that look, and there's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Like, I saw everything.
Did you not tip the wait staff? Another scene that made me laugh though too is when he, after he had the hot flashes and ordered dinner, it was like $135.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah. "Well, yeah, it was $135," and he like, "Can you, you got change for $140?" No, I don't. I didn't think so.
Plus, you could have been a lot faster, dear.
But. Yeah, and then of course the
remote control of the fish tank.
Yeah. No, because even back then when this movie came out, my brain's going, now you gotta get up and change the channels. Because I'm just coming, you know, I mean, 93. I'm only a few years removed from where I spent most of my childhood as being the remote control.
I know.
Hey, we need to change channel now. You can get, what'd you say, boy? Nothing. But yeah.
We forgot to play.
I know, we forgot to hit play. But
I also like, of course, the whole dance scene when he's doing, when they're doing a montage and the song, of course, the dude looks like a lady. That the whole thing was hilarious.
Yeah.
I did like, as a bookworm, I did like that they mentioned, I couldn't find a reason as to why they decided to choose E.B. White to be in this particular movie to be mentioned, the author. And E.B. White, of course, wrote Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little, which are both talked about. But Stuart Little is about, you know, acceptance and tolerance, while Charlotte's Web is, of course, about friendship. So it kind of makes sense. I just don't know why they chose that. But I feel like that's possibly why, because they're talking about tolerance, you know, learning to be tolerant of what's going on and accepting of what is. Because, you know, like, we can't fix what's happening because it's already happened. And now how do we handle it? You know, so it's, you know, how do we handle it from here? And then, of course, about friendship. So he does mention it. And, of course, you know, little Natalie's like, you know, talking about grandma, you know, well, grandma doesn't do the voices, you know. And I don't know why. I tried looking up to see if there was any facts about that, and there really wasn't. I'm like you guys, I love the run by fruiting. That's just hilarious. But also the transformation part, I thought that was really neat. I thought that moment with his brother and Jack were really good. And because you get to see Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Like Barbara Streisand and B, you know, all these other characters and Vanilla Fine Cats. Like, I just loved it. And as a kid, it cracked me up, like watching him become these other characters right in front of us. And it was just so neat to see him do that.
Yeah. I mean, and one neat thing, I'm trying to find a photo real quick. Oop, there it was. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead. I mean, because we can, and so that this scene here you guys are talking about, you know, the scene is, or Nicole's talking about singing the song, Barbara Streisand song. Robin Williams did not know the lyrics to the Barbara Streisand song, "Don't Ring on My Parade." Harvey and Scott played Frank and Jack had to teach it to him.
He probably had a blast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and again, and there are so many deleted scenes of this whole transformation that,
yeah.
And honestly, I mean, go check, search on YouTube. Obviously, the ones with any of you got the song Dude Looks Like a Lady in it are not going to be on there, or they're going to be there with no sound because copyright issues. But if you don't own the Blu-ray or the DVD where you got the deleted scenes, at least go watch them on there because they're hilarious. And if you watch like outtakes or whatnot, also you will see there's a lot of stuff where they move certain things along, and you see the differences in these shots or different sayings that he does. And you realize how much of this gets pieced together from different sayings. Because one of them I do remember I saw was he talked about when he was talking to Mrs. Hillard about, Mrs. Doubtfire was talking to Mrs. Hillard about the death of Winston. And she mentioned that, you know, obviously about the drink and then, you know, back and forth about the whether or not it was he was an alcoholic. But no, it was really the drink that killed him. He was ran over by a Budweiser truck.
Guinness.
Oh, in the outtake, it was Budweiser truck.
I thought they said Guinness.
In the movie, it is Guinness, because that's what they did in the next take, where I think Robin Williams was just doing so many different stuff, you know, pretty much improvising, like he would be. And but it was kind of neat because it was like, wow, all these scenes or all these sayings were ripped, made, you know, like almost like they took the best ones and said, here you go. Right. This is what we want to go with.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and we've got some fun facts about Robin Williams creating Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
That are hilarious. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Are we ready?
We're ready. Yeah, I'm ready for some fun facts because let's they're hilarious.
Fun facts.
Oh, man.
Here's what you got.
Oh, well, let's I just want, I got to go for it. I got to go for it. Okay. When it came down to him creating Mrs. Doubtfire, and one, he was doing it with one, he was practicing, he would go in to see how the kids, that they would see how the kids would react, right? But the funnier one of the two, you and I were talking about it. I can't keep a straight face. Was the fact that he went into an adult shop and to buy some toys dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire.
And no one recognized him.
And nobody recognized him.
Here we go, Kim. There's the
I cannot believe that fun fact. That was just one that I'm just like. It's a good one. It's a good one. So kudos to the makeup department. Because we also know that they won an Oscar for that makeup job. They did. That's how good of a job they did. They earned that Oscar. They earned that Oscar. So.
Alrighty. Known for his trademark spontaneity of improvising, Robin Williams was given free reins by Chris Columbus to do what he needed. However, his improvisations can occasionally spark off numerous references to other works that proved to be legal headaches for movie studios. The scene where Daniel speaks with his wife and relates to her clothes as, and I quote, this lovely Dances with Wolves motif, end quote, required legal clearance for the studio to put it in the film. Associate producer Paula Dupree later kept track of every reference Williams made while improvising. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Chris Columbus, and Rob Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get any fun facts?
No.
Oh, well, I love how she just no.
I don't. I didn't look up any fun facts.
So there is a now we now have. Oh, we'll do that one real quick.
There's Chris Columbus with Rob Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, I could have taken
any. Having a good time.
Exactly. And
pulling drinks.
Out of all the photos I've seen of those two together, or even Chris Columbus by himself, I'm just like, we gotta go with this one.
It's the most hilarious. It's hilarious.
It is, because you know how Robin. We all know how Robin is. I mean, if you watch any of his TV shows or what, you know, still is. I mean, that's the good thing about the is with movies, TV shows, and all that stuff is we have access to them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you need to laugh or something more. Or whatnot, you can just pop in a movie.
Yep, pop in anything with almost with Robin Williams. So before Mara Wilson had her debut in Mrs. Doubtfire, the now famous Blake Lively was actually up for auditioning for young Natalie. Her dad, to settle her nerves, had mentioned to her, oh, you're going to be working with somebody else. It's not Robin. She's not getting the job. But trust me, Blake Lively went on to do her own great things, and so didn't Mara Wilson. So I think this worked out for the both, for both of them in the long run. And we know that Harvey Weinstein, he actually asked for this part in this movie. You know, because he had heard about it and wanted to be a part of being his brother.
Well, actually, there's a little more to that, actually.
Yep.
He had actually seen and been impressed by Robin Williams' impersonation of him on Comic Relief.
Yes.
He heard, again, like Nicole saying, through friends that Williams would be playing a character with a gay brother and approached him about playing the part. That's so freaking cool.
I love that. I love how it worked out. I think it just worked out great.
Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
And since we do all like, there's that one scene, one line that really just sticks out to every one of us. Say it again, Kim.
Who made you this way?
Uncle. No.
Oh.
No.
What?
Our favorite quote, our favorite scene.
Run by fruiting. It was run by fruiting.
The line, it was a run by fruiting, was improvised by Robin Williams.
Supposed to be drive by, I think.
I love it that it was improvised. Yeah, because even Pierce in that 25th anniversary did talk about it, saying it was a drive by fruiting. And yeah, but it is run by.
It was a run by fruiting. I saw it. And
speaking of the one that was hit by the run by fruiting, Pierce Brosnan's character Stu originally was supposed to be more villainous, but they decided to leave him less villainous, more family friendly, and make it so that maybe he was going to be a possible potential stepfather for the future. So that way, it was going to work out for both, good for everybody. I'm glad that this movie did end the way it did, because it did work out that way. That was another fun fact, which really was not fun, is that there had been conversations of having them come back together, and the original screenwriter walked out and said, no, we're not going to do that. And then they brought in somebody else, and they realized in the long run, the first person was right. And they corrected that. And that was just to let them be separated and let them be divorced. And let's see how this is what a family can do together, you know, when all the components are right. So,
you know, one thing to learn, or I learned here during in this fat time, is when you're a veteran actor and you're, you know, you're being paid the bigger bucks, you get a little more pull and leeway, because some scenes were shot 15 to 22 times because Robin Williams wasn't satisfied until he had the scene worked out of his system.
He was a perfectionist.
He was a perfectionist comedian.
Yeah.
And I guarantee it was mostly comedic roles.
Yeah.
Or comedy spots in this show, because I guarantee he'd go back and watch playback. No. That's wrong. It's not sounding right. Let's do this. Let me do it again.
Yeah.
The hello scene was not originally supposed to be a cake, which I love. That's another favorite scene. Hello. When he decides to put his face in the cake, because I need a mask. I need a face. It was originally supposed to be avocados. Thankfully, I think it worked out for the better. Including then the next scene that accidentally happened when the frosting was hitting the tea. Oh, do you want one drop or two, dear? That wasn't supposed to happen. And I love that it happened. I do have to admit, I think that's also one of my other favorite scenes, is the hello. And then the tea, one spot or two, dear. You know what I mean? With the frosting. I'm glad that it worked out, because I think that worked out way better than avocados. As much as I like avocados, give me the frosting in my tea any day.
So the liaison took it and went like this, because she's really convinced it was a facial.
And another casting.
Go ahead.
One that didn't make as casting to play Daniel Hillard and Mrs. Doubtfire was also Warren Beatty was up for the role.
And it was named for a good reason. It was because the author, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yeah, somebody else had wanted Warren Beatty because she thought that it would be funny to see him opposite of what he was really doing in real life.
Yep.
Go figure.
And do you know who the other person was also?
Warren, I know Warren Beatty, I think, was the only one I had heard.
Okay. Tim Allen was offered the roles of Daniel Hillard and Stu, but turned both of them down.
That's right. I did hear about that. It just occurred to me. I'm like, oh, that's
again,
right.
This was perfectly cast.
Yeah, it was.
The cast that they got was perfect.
Yeah.
I know Tim Allen's freaking hilarious. I can't see him in that role.
No.
Maybe it's because the tool time is still always in my.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Emails.
Yes, I have a few more.
Cool.
I've already mentioned that this received the best. For the Oscars, it got the Academy Award for Best Makeup. It also got the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture for a Musical or Comedy. Robin Williams was awarded the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy for Mrs. Doubtfire, which he earned. Okay. He earned this thing. And I loved it because he did a fabulous job. Again, even just with the one scene when they're doing the transformation, that alone shows such amazing range. It's just fantastic. He earned it.
Awesome. I just found one more I actually didn't know. Okay. Hopefully I'm not stealing this one from Nicole.
Again, we don't. I think I'm good. I think I'm down to like that one of the other ones that we're going to be talking about.
So just so everybody knows, we don't compare notes, you know, so.
We kind of do, but we kind of don't at the same time. We're off the cuff.
The actor playing the bartender in the pool scene is credited as Dr. Toad. But his real name is Robert Todd Williams, half brother of Robin Williams.
Oh, good one.
That's what's great because I get to go scrolling while Nicole's reading, talking about something. We go, oh, there we go. That one's cool.
Are we ready to reveal our final fun fact of the evening?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
Because I believe this fun fact is also going to include our patrons.
Yes, it does, Scott and Kim. Kim, are you ready?
I am.
Did you bring your copy? I already gave a hint.
Yeah, that was a dead hit.
Oh, no. And yes, I did.
All right. Mrs. Doubtfire was originally based off a book.
Yep.
By Anne Fine. Madame Doubtfire.
Which, again, we want to thank our wonderful co-host, Nicole, because this was a shock and a half when it showed up in the mail. I remember asking Kim, hey, did you order anything off of Amazon? No. Well, I didn't either. Why the hell we got something coming from Amazon?
I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about.
And there was a wonderful note in there saying, hey, I just found this out. Like, oh, well, hey, let's read this. And
it was the first fun fact. I was like, this is me. When we decided we were going to do Mrs. Doubtfire, I was doing research and the first fact that came up was this was based off a book. And again, I'm a huge book reader. I'm a bookworm. I've read E.B. White. I read a lot of Roald Dahl books back in 93, like there's a bunch of books I was reading, but I was just like, how did I miss this one? And this one was by Anne Rice. And yeah. Anne Fine.
Anne Rice, Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, so, but Scott, can you give some more details that's going to be coming very special for our patrons?
Yeah, obviously patrons, the cool part is that once you're done watching this video, you're going to go right into our You should have gotten an email saying that there is a special video for you because we're going to talk about the book.
Madame Doubtfire.
Yes, we are.
But regardless of that, Mrs. Doubtfire, the 1993 movie.
Amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. It was a chef's kiss to see it in the theater. Because, I mean, one, as a hard rocker myself, having Dude Looks Like a Lady blasting in the theater was like, yeah! You know, but, I mean, Robin Williams, comedic genius.
He was.
Sally, I mean, again, Sally Field, Pierce Bronson. You know, again, perfect. Casting. The kids, the casting was perfect.
Yeah.
They didn't miss anything on this one, I didn't think.
No, they didn't.
And I don't know. I mean, I give this a good 10 out of 10 hot flashes.
I do too.
Well, I guess I'm going for 10 hot flashes too, but without the hot flash, please.
But yeah, so patrons.
Stay tuned.
No, not stay tuned.
No.
Go jump into Patreon and get the video.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Oh, like I don't have the option to go, okay, here you go. Here's all of our patrons now. Here's your video. I wish YouTube would let us do that. That'd be freaking awesome.
If you're not a Patreon subscriber and you want to see what we're doing,
hey, you get it.
Come join
us. $5. You'll get this video. You'll get the video about the book. About us talking about the book. And guess what? It's a 7-day free trial.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you do the 7-day free trial, you can get 7 days free. You don't have to pay your $5.
Yeah.
You're going to get to look at every video we've ever done.
Yeah.
And make a decision there. Just so you know, whatever you sign up for on our Patreon always goes back into the show, goes for StreamYard and all of our different hostings and stuff. But with that being said, Mrs. Doubtfire, if you've never seen this movie, please go watch it.
Yes.
And until next week.
Are we going to show it just before the ending, the last and final picture?
Thank you, Kim. That's why you're also part of the co-hosting, because I about screwed up.
I actually thought you were going to do it right afterwards. Oh, my heart. Can you blow that up? This right here is my favorite quote. This is my favorite quote from the movie.
No, don't give me the option. Yeah, I mean,
I thought it would blow. I thought you were able to blow it up. Oh, so good. So good. Give me 1 second. Let's
see here.
I'll see you over
here. Doing this? No.
Oh, where is it? I have it. Sorry. But if there's love, dear, those are the ties that bind, and you'll have a family in your heart forever. I love that quote. That's my favorite quote from this movie. That's the quote. Like, there's favorite scenes, but my favorite quote is that one. And they end it on that. And I just love this. I love how they created this image. It was beautiful with both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this is just right after the reveal that Daniel's going to be taking them
daily.
And the kids are getting ready. Mrs. Doubtfire comes on. A child had sent in a question literally about divorce.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Doubtfire was given the reason. That's Sally Field and Mrs. Hillard is watching this and hearing all this. And then it was this perfect way, you know, it switched to him being outside, waiting for the kids. Here come the kids while everything's still being talked about. And
what an ending.
Very good ending.
Yeah.
Yep. And that is my favorite quote from this movie.
Then. Yes.
Awesome.
It's about love.
It is about love. And, you know, we I know we mentioned in the beginning, and, you know, that's the one thing is regardless of what happens in the marriage, parents will always love their children.
That's right.
no matter what. That is one unconditional love.
Yep.
But
with that
being said, until next week, when, oh, hey, by the way, I'm gone. Bye, people. Scott's last show.
For just a little bit. He'll be back.
Whenever I return.
But trust me, Kim and I, we got some fun stuff planned. Beginning with our favorite things next Sunday.
We got some spicy
stuff coming up for you guys.
So if you guys got any questions for him, shoot him a DM. Nicole is at
Peace Love Fandoms on Twitter, Instagram.
Or if you're in our Discord, you guys can shoot her a DM there.
Mm-hmm.
Kim is something on
Twitter. Yeah, I think Polar Mine's Bear at Polar Bear 2013.
Or 2K13.
Yeah, 2K13. Let me get my Twitter handle here. And I'll
She don't even know it.
No, I don't.
I know it's Polar something. I remember most of it.
I know it's Polar Bear.
Yeah, it's Polar Bear. There's a story behind that.
Okay. Hey, that's a good question to ask her. Ask her what the story is behind Polar Bear people.
I had already thought about that. It's already
wrote down. Nicole's got you covered, guys.
Yes.
But no.
It is. It's at Polar Bear 2013
K. Okay. And of course, she's on our Discord too. So you can shoot them both DMs. Any DMs you shoot through our patrons, you shoot me any DMs or shoot DMs into the Patreon. I will make sure I get it to them, or emails or whatever. But yeah, shoot out your DMs. Even if you want to DM the show, go ahead on at UseAbusePod on Twitter/X.
You can also email too.
I just said that.
Oh.
Okay. But anyways, until next week. Scott signed up for a while.
Kim will be back with Nicole.
Yes, we will be.
We are Used and Abused. And have a great week.
And a great weekend.
Be kind to everyone. And guess what? Even when we're not doing it live, I'm not ready. Peace.
Listener, just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content,
make sure you head over to Red5Network.com.
You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more.
All wings report in.
It's the Red 5 Network.